Okay, maybe we might just go straight through. We have only 1 hour, so maybe we'll make it a little bit easier. We'll just go straight through. We'll see. We'll see. If you want to go out, of course, if you need a break, of course, Kol HaKavod. Let's continue learning what we learned. We're learning about the laws of Shofar. So we're going to try to go through some things a little bit more quickly today. Yesterday, we started with the Mitzvah Deraisa. The Mitzvah Deraisa is to blow Shofar. That's the Mitzvah Sayoim. And we discussed the Tekiyos, the Yeshiva, the Tekiyos, the Amida. We discussed the 100 Koilois. Now, just a quick idea. Why don't we say it's Baal Tosef? If the Torah only demands that we blow 9 Koilois, and because we do not know what the 9 Koilois are, we end up blowing 30 Koilois. So for us now to blow 60 and then 100, why don't we say that this is Baal Tosef? You're not allowed to add. So obviously it's not because we do it, so it's not Baal. But the question is, why not? If we're coming to make an entire new set, Yoytze for sure, by blowing 30 koilos, there is no doubt that you have fulfilled your obligation. If you have to go blow more koilos as a suffix, so Yoytze. So do it again and again and again. Why? Why is that not called Baal Tosef? So the answer is, it's just like Lulav. If you take a lulav and you shake the lulav the entire day, that's not called Baal Tosef. Taking five different types of plants and tying them together, where you're adding a part to the mitzvah, that is called Baal Tosef. Taking the lulav and holding the lulav in your hand the entire day, that's not called Baal Tosef. Wearing tefillin the entire day is not Baal Tosef. If you add a fifth compartment to your tefillin, that's called Baal Tosef. Blowing more cannot be Baal Tosef. If you were to blow with two trumpets, two shofars, I blow this shofar and I blow this shofar, if you add to the cheftza of the mitzvah, that is called Baal Tosef. Adding more tekiyos is just like taking the lulav and shaking it a little bit more.
What about putting two mezuzahs on your door?
That's Baal Tosef.
If you put two separate mezuzahs on your door, that
will be Baal Tosef. Yes.
This is not even doing the mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah twice.
Because you only put one mezuzah on the door. It's very interesting. I once went to an apartment. It's a very interesting idea. I went to an apartment to visit someone, and on the door you can see tape painted over 1,000 times. It's an old mezuzah, probably from 60-70 years ago. It's a very old apartment building. And the person that we were visiting was a Ben Torah, and he had on the door beautiful. You can see a big, beautiful new mezuzah was pasted to the door, was put on in the right place. But you can see on the side, higher up, was another mezuzah from 60, 70 years ago, painted over 100 times. So I told the fellow, it's Baal Tosef. How can you go put on the door? There are two mezuzahs. So he says to me, there's no way in the world that the other mezuzah is kosher. So I said, how do you know? To be kosher, it's one thing to say it's not muhudur and you want a new mezuzah. But can you go say that it's posel? How, you didn't even check, you don't even know what's on there. You go into a store to buy a lulav. So you see people sitting there for hours and hours, taking a lulav with a microscope for hours until they find the perfect lulav. They finally, after a couple of hours, they find the perfect lulav. They went through 1,000 lulavim and they buy it. And they say to the owner, can you give me a lulav that's possible so I can make wings? So the owner says to the guy, listen, you just sat here for 3 hours. You went through every single lulav in the store. You know what's possible. So whatever you know is possible, take. So he says to him, you know something? I can't even say that one lulav from the 1,000 lulav that I look through is possible. So if you don't say it's possible, why did you take three hours? Difference. I want muhudar. But even if something is so shvach, to go say it's possible, I can't say that. You have a mezuzah. Beautiful new mezuzah. There's another mezuzah there, 100 years old, painted over. I can't say it's possible. Would I be comfortable using that mezuzah? No way, never. I can just imagine what it looks like. But can I go say that it's possible? It's very interesting, the standards. You don't, like people also, don't write off people. Just because in your eyes, these people, they're so schwach and they're so connected. Everything you've been taught, you've learned, you know about. Don't say the puzzle. You can't say about any mezuzah, any lulav, it's puzzle. Kol shekain, you can't say about a person, the puzzle. Whatever it is. It's like I story where someone once came to my father, they wanted, and my father, I don't think I ever saw my father so shocked, so like disturbed, where they wanted religious people, firm people, came to my father, they came as representatives of someone who wanted to permit a koyein to marry a gerusha. How are they going to do that? They're going to try to figure out a way to say that the woman's first marriage was not a kosher marriage. So if the woman's first marriage was not a kosher marriage, she was never married. If she was never married, so when she got a divorce, it wasn't a divorce. It's only called a gerushin if you were married. If you were never married, so it's not called a gerushin.
Does a kohen have to marry a
besula? No, only a kohen gadol. Only a kohen gadol has to marry a besula. So what do? They said that they discovered, they did this, we're professionals, we did research, and we know who the witnesses were at this person's wedding. At this woman's wedding, we have the photographs of the wedding, of the first wedding. When this one got married, we know who the witnesses were. One of the witnesses happens to be a balabas in your shul. So Rabbi, maybe you can tell us a secret that you know that he shaves with a razor, or he did this. Tell us something about him that we can say that he's pasul le'edus. And he's pasul le'edus, it wasn't a kosher marriage. So there was no gerushin. So she's not called a halachic gerusha, so the kohen cannot marry her. So my father was, his eyes were popping out. Like, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Like this is what you do? Like you got to be out of your mind. How could you do?
Someone said she had a doctor as an aide, because usually a doctor somewhere in his practice had to be with Halal Shabbos because of medicine.
Later on, when they want to disqualify the marriage, they'll say it's a Mechal Shabbos, right? So basically, my father just like so ridiculous, like out of your mind. But it's more than that. How can you say when it comes to in the yeshiva world, when it comes to a wedding, the Bnei Torah, they're very machmir to find people who are the best they can find to be witnesses. It's not so easy to find a kosher witness. it's really not easy. I remember there was once a Rosh Kollel, a very chashev Rosh Kollel, a very, very distinguished, well-known person, and they were mechabed him under the chuppah to be an aide. And he refused. And they said, why you refuse? Well, you have some scandal going on over here? He says, no, I'm clean as a whistle, as far as I know. I don't have any issues, but I'm a Rosh Kollel. I give out a lot of money. I have a very significant size kollel, and I give out checks. I the funds come in, I do fundraising, and then I distribute the money to the members of the kollel. It cannot be that in my tenure, in my profession, when I do part of what I do, I don't make a mistake. It has to be there are people who get funds as being part of the kollel that don't really deserve the money because they come late or they don't come. And the people who are funding this kollel, if they would know that I gave these people money, I don't know, they might not be happy with me. Or maybe I made a mistake, an honest mistake. I gave someone too much money, too little money. I gave someone too little money, or this and that. I deal with money every single day. And it can't be that I don't make mistakes. And so even though, listen, what can you do? You know, but if I made a mistake, I'm a ganaf. A ganaf is possible, le'edos. So you know something? Take someone else. I don't want on my conscience. I don't want, even though, I don't want on my conscience. I don't want on my conscience. That's quite a statement, right? So when it comes to go find a kosher witness, you look, you want to find the best. But when whoever you take, you can't tell me they were possible. It goes two ways. You want the best you can find. But whoever you're going to end up taking, who are you to say that is possible? Chas v'shalom, another Jew. Another Jew, how could you say he's possible Adas? Okay, so this is...
$20,000.
What?
They get paid money to find... They advertise to get money. Free up that lady. They got paid.
Of course they got paid. So you sold to the devil. So for money you go, for money went to go to... You can't go say about someone, it's ridiculous to say about someone, they are apostles. Let's go further.
How can you add hadassim to the dalad minim?
How can you add more hadassim? Three hadassim, two aravos. So yes, a very good question. I guess the answer is that it's like blowing more koilos. It's like shaking the lulav more times, since that's the min. That is the type, the species, which the Torah demands that we take. You can have a lot of it. You can't have more than four types. But one type, one min, there's no limit to how many you can have.
Two esrogim in one
hand? Yes, no, good question. Why don't we find us taking two esrogim? Okay, that's the min. The min, whatever the reason is, we take one esrog, one lulav, and three and two. By the way, some have different minhagim. There are minhagim. I think Lubavitch, they take 12, right? Take 12 hadassim.
More?
As much as you can take. Aravos. No, hadassim. Hadassim. All right, whatever it is. Good kasha. Why are you allowed to go take? This is a sugya of when it comes to Baal Tosef. This I just want to point out. I don't have all the details for you, but this is a very nice topic of discussion to understand the gedarim of Baal Tosef. And when you discuss this topic, one of the things you should not ignore is the fact that on Rosh Hashanah we blow 100 koilos when we're only obligated to blow 9. We go from 9 to 30. Minat Torah, only 9. We don't know what the correct 9 are, so we have no choice but to blow 30. But how do you go from 30 to 100? Why is that not called Baal Tosef? So this is just the thing about what are the Gedarim of Baal Tosef. Okay, next topic. The next topic is, okay, we discussed yesterday, the Yeshiva. Now, I told you yesterday a very beautiful drush about the Gezeres HaShmat. But there's the basic reason why we blow the kiyos multiple times, the kiyos the yeshiva and the kiyos the amida. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Sometimes you get carried with the drush and you forget the ikar. That's very, very bad. Not to forget the ikarim is chavivus hamitzvah. When the Satan sees that we repeat the entire series of the kiyos all over again, we blow 30 before Musaf. And then we blow 30 again during Musaf. Why are you blowing it twice? Chavivos. It's precious. We cherish the mitzvah. There's nothing that drives the Satan more crazy, more mad, than seeing a Jew have chavivos for the mitzvah. And when he sees the chavivos of the mitzvah, he goes insane. He realizes it's hopeless. There's no way in the world I'm going to be able to succeed in interfering with this process. I'm out of here. Goodbye. See you later. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll get you tomorrow. But today, I'm not going to be here today. So that's a very powerful thing to say. We come into Rosh Hashanah on the Yemei Hadin. We first do the tekiyos right away. So that when we dive in the Shmoyne Esrei, and we blow the tekiyos during the Shmoyne Esrei, it should be against the backdrop of chavivos. Isn't that amazing? When we come into the Iker Tzvilov of an Asana Toikef, but Rosh Hashanah mi yichye mi yomus, with the blowing of the shofar, it's not just blowing of the shofar, a boring blowing. We already blew the shofar. So why is the Baal Tokeah still here? Chavivos. That's powerful. To come before the Ribbono Shel Olam with chavivos and the Yemei Hadin, that's a mouthful. That accomplishes great, great things. Halavai, that should overflow and extend to all of the mitzvahs. They should all be with chavivos. Okay, next topic of discussion is that, okay, this we know that when the Baal Tokeah makes the bracha, he has to be standing. And the tekiyos must be blown when the Baal Tokeah is standing. That is la locha. When they stand, they may not lean upon anything, because leaning is like reclining. How do we know this? So maybe let me tell you a drush. I told this drush to someone this morning. First he said, I don't know, maybe very Talmud Chacham, he started shepping me, what kind of thing. And then he says, no, it's okay. You could say it over. It's good. It's good. It's good. He gave me his, he was like a half hearted. Well, now what am I now? Here's the Jewish. A little bit of a Jewish, but it is a Jewish, not a little bit. It's a pure Jewish, but at least we bring out the halacha. How do we know that you have to stand? It's a very bizarre concept. How do we know they have to stand when you make the bracha for shayfa, when you blow the shayfa? It's a Gemara. Is it a Rishon or Shulchan Aruch? I think it's a Gemara. A very strange thing because it make a gzera shava to the Omer. It says by the parish of shayfer, Yoim Teruah. Yihyeh lochem. It says the word lochem. By the Omer, what is the Omer? On the second day of Pesach, we cut new grain and we offer a carbon Omer. When you bring the Omer on the second day of Pesach, it's matir, the Omer, the new grain, the new crop in Eretz Yisrael now becomes permitted. It says by the Mukitzartem, you shall cut lochem. Okay, so there's a gezeirah shava, a real gezeirah shava, linking the blowing of the shofar to the harvesting of the omer. Now, what in the world? That's halacha, strict gezeirah shava. Now, what does it say by the omer? It says the word bakoma. Koma means you cut. Uktzartem lochem. I don't remember the entire pasuk. No, but what does it say? It says the comma, you shall cut down. The comma means the standing grain. Bakoma, remember, yes, he will tell us the pasuk in a second. Bakoma is the standing grain. The Gemara says, a drasha, al tikri bakoma, ella bakoma. Stand up. So Gemara. And therefore, now that we have this gezeirah shava lochem, we link shofar to the omer, and the omer it says koma standing grain, and we play with the nekudos al tikri koma lekoma. We learn that when you make the bracha for shofar and you blow the shofar must be done bekoma when you're standing. Interesting drasha, right? Pure halacha, pure drasha. And it has to force us, every time there's the halacha, there's a parallel in the world of agada. There must be some significance in the fact that the Torah is linking together the shofar with the omer. What's the connection? Now, very simple. It's a very simple connection. What is the Daf Yomi? Anyone who's learning Daf Yomi now? Because the Daf Yomi is discussing Minachas, and the Omer is a Minachan. A few days ago, we more discussed this concept. When you bring the Omer, what is a Talmudic term? The Talmudic, what are you accomplishing when you bring an Omer? When you bring the Omer? Matir. It's called the Matir. Until this moment in time, all of the grain that grew, the new grain, is forbidden. The bakeries cannot begin to prepare using new grain. It's forbidden. When you bring the Omer is a matir. It now permits us to partake, to benefit from the new grain. On Rosh Hashanah, what are we really doing? We are renewing our lease in life. The year comes to an end. It's over. Hashem only gives us a lease for 1 year. A person has a lease. Okay, you lease an apartment. You lease an automobile. When the lease is over, you're not allowed to go into the car. It's not yours anymore. It's not yours to begin with. You don't own the car. You don't own the apartment. It's someone else's. What right do I have to dwell in this apartment? What right do I have to drive this car? I've paid money. I have a lease. By creating a lease, it permits me to use someone else's property. It's not my apartment, not my car. I've signed the documents. I've paid the money. I have a lease. The year has come to an end. Our lease on life is over. We have no right to proceed in this world. It's not our world. It's not our world. We have no right to derive benefit from this world. We have no right to take space in this world. It's Hashem's world. When you blow the shofar, what are you doing? You're being matir. You're being matir the new year. You are renewing your lease on life by acknowledging that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Melech. I acknowledge Hashem is the boss. Everything comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we make a bracha, we blow the shofar. By blowing the shofar, I'm doing exactly what we do when you bring the Karban Omer. Ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. What is bread? The Torah describes bread as the staple of life. There's no bread, there's no life. You need bread to live. Yichye ha'adam, man lives on bread. But you know something? Besides the physical life, there's also the spiritual life. As the Pasuk Mamash says, ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. So just like when you bring the Omer, you are now being matir. The bread, the grain to have physical life, so too when you blow the shofar, you're being matir, the spiritual element of life in this world. Okay, so there is indeed a direct parallel. Lechem is life, ki lechem yichye adam. It's matir, the bread. The spiritual element of life also needs a matir. What's the matir? The blowing of the shofar. Okay, so there's a connection. Now let's go further. How do you know when it says in the pasuk Yom Teruah, you're supposed to blow a shofar? Why don't we blow a trumpet? Why don't we blow some musical instrument that we can buy? A flute. Why don't we blow the horn of an animal? How do you know? How do you know? All it says in the Torah is Yom Teruah. It's all it says. How do you know you have to blow a horn of an animal? There's another Gezeirah Shofar. It connects the blowing of the shofar to Yovel. It says Teruah by Rosh Hashanah, and it says the word Teruah by Yovel. And by Yovel, it says the word shofar. It says indeed the word shofar. It says, but I don't have a pasuk on the tip of my tongue, but there's a gezeirah shava. So the only what shofar tura. Okay, it says the word shofar tura by Yovel. The only way we know that you blow with a shofar is through the gezeirah Yovel. So look what happens now. We have one gezeirah shava linking us to the Omer. Another Gezeirah Shofar linking us to Yovel. What does Yovel have to do with Rosh Hashanah? So independently you can say, Chayrus. A person is not free in this world. You can live in this world as a slave, or you can live in this world as a free man. Torah, through the Koyach of Torah, we know that Torah is Chayrus. And the person lives with Torah, he's a free man. You're coming into a new year. What are you going to be, a slave? You're going to have a job, and you're going to be a slave to what happens in this world? Or do you want freedom? Freedom means by serving Hashem, by being loyal to Hashem, okay, that creates a dimension of freedom. You're free from the Yetzer Hara. Ordinary person is a slave to his taivos, to his passions, to the material element of one's neshama. A person who occupies himself with Torah and mitzvahs is free from the shackles of the Yetzer Hara, has a degree of spiritual independence. In order to impress upon ourselves that when we enter into the new year, we want a year of chayrus from the Yetzer Hara, the Torah went out of its way to force us to make a gezeirah shava to Yovel. Yovel is a zman of chayrus, ushafta misha lechuzasai, slaves go free, people, they return to their possession. We're trying to impress upon men that when you blow the shofar, you have to return. You return to Hashem. And by returning to Hashem, you are unshackling yourself from the slavery that you have in this world, the slavery to the Yetzer Hara. Okay, so we just said over here two independent verdlach. What is the agadic significance in comparing the shofar to the Omer? And what is the symbolic significance, agadic significance, in comparing the shofar to Yovel? But now comes the catch. Let's put the two together. Here's the catch. This is the Gemara, only I'm saying because it was the Daf Yomi 2 days ago. The Gemara says, In the year of Shemitah, there's nothing to eat. There's nothing to eat. You're not allowed to plant. You're not allowed to go into the field and plant seeds, so there's nothing grows. What are you eating in the year of Shemitah? You're eating whatever you have leftovers from the previous year. You got to stack up. You got to stack up from the previous years, or you have to import food from Chutz Liaretz. You can't eat from the produce. Question. So why then, in the year of Shemitah, do we bother bringing the Karban Omer? The only reason why we bring the Karban Omer on Pesach is to be matir, is to permit the new produce. But in the year of Shemitah, there's no new produce. In fact, the Gemara talks, they had a very hard time even finding grain to make the Omer, to produce the Omer. Because it has to be from the new. If you want to go big in Minchas, they brought Minchas from the old, from last year, the previous years. They stacked up, they stored from the old flour. But the Omer has to be brought from this year's crop. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Mereishis, Mereishis. So why do you need to bring the Omer in the year of Shemitah when there's nothing to eat anyway? Nothing grows. So the Gemara says, good kasha. There are things that are called sefichim. There's a little bit that grows. They're just wild stalks of wheat. You're not allowed to cultivate the land, but all is going to happen is going to be wild growth. It's called sifichin, which means it's just like psoilas.
Anybody can take that?
Anyone can take it.
But can't the landowner take it just like a poor person can take whatever's left?
Yeah, whatever grows by itself.
But
who says something grows by itself? If you're not going to plant, who's it's going to grow? So the Gemara says, no, it grows. It grows. It does grow. And because it grows, therefore, it's forbidden. It's forbidden to eat until even what grows by itself in the year of Shemitah is forbidden to eat until you makriv the karbon oimer. Okay, that's what we're doing now. The Gemara has another answer, but let's leave it with that. Now, that's Shemitah. What about Yovel? Yovel comes after Shemitah. You count 7 times 7. And then when you come to after 49, year 50, and the laws of Yovel are identical to the laws of Shemitah, which basically means for 2 years, you're not allowed to plant the field. Now the reality is, if you don't plant the field, so the first year, and you don't plant the field, there'll be things that grow, sefichin, wild things. The second year, there's even less. That's just the nature of the way the world goes. If you don't plant the field, the year after you don't plant, there's always going to be some leftover seeds that get lost in the process. There'll be what's called aftergrowth. But the second year in a row, it's called sefiche sefiche. The aftergrowth of the aftergrowth, which means there's almost nothing. And whatever grows is very poor quality because already 2 years, 2 years, no one has processed the earth. No one has fertilized it. Chutz Liaretz. You're right, Chutz. But the Omer is not Omer. You asked in the kasha. You told that Chodesh is also Chutz Liaretz. It's not that. That's a machlokes. Let's not go. The Gemara talks about. Let's not go there now. Let's learn that.
To Ashkelon, to Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim, other places.
Doesn't matter. It's called in the whole Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to work the field for 2 years in a row.
From Rosh Hashanah until Pesach, they can't eat anything that's growing.
That's right.
Wild.
That's right. What's wild, exactly. Even what's wild, they can't
eat. That's a long time.
That's a very long, exactly. That's what's so difficult about Shemitah. So what are you going to eat then? You have to store up from the previous year leftovers to last for 2 years. It says in the Pasuk, Vitzivisias birchasid, Alan, the blessing that the food will last for 4 years.
But the poor people don't have a place to store.
It's a big problem. In Echanami, it's a big problem. That's part of the Nisyonis of Shemitah. Now we have appreciation. They have an Eretz Yisrael. Every Shemitah, they carry an Ashvis. They make appeals. They're begging the farmers not to plant. I mean, the kind of the mitzvah, and the full toikev of the mitzvah, and the community will help them. The community will go and we raise money. They raise millions and millions of dollars. There are people who have taken upon themselves to raise millions and millions of dollars to buy food from Chutz Liaretz, from America, from all different parts of the world, to import food in order to provide for these people. And not just that, they're losing money. They're not selling the produce during this year. They have no income, and to make up for the loss of income. Years ago, before the community came along and decided to do this, these people can literally starve. And that's why some of the older Rabbanim before the Medina was established, and today as well, is they had this thing called the Heter Mechira. Very controversial thing is where they sell the land to Goyim. And therefore it's not Jews' land, it's the land that belongs to a non-Jew, and there's no prohibition of Shemitah. And you can plant, you can harvest. So is that
it's
the...
They actually sell it.
They actually sell it to a guy. Forget about leasing.
Not good enough?
I don't know. I don't know all the details. It's very, very complex and very controversial. Because who says you're allowed to sell holy land to a guy? Who says this is the proper thing to do? It was done. But when it was just because it was done years ago by Gedolei Yisrael, those were different times. Those were times the Koach Nefesh, they would literally die. So is it proper today in the modern world that we should continue doing this? Some say yes, some say no, and that's why Eretz Yisrael, it's a very, very big topic of discussion. It's very controversial, and there are many, many opinions. There are many shiurim given to deal with what is the proper thing to do today in our day and age with regard to Shemitah. Okay, that's not our topic of discussion, but point I want to make over here is in the year of Yovel, it's already the second year when you have not cultivated the land. Whatever is going to grow in the second year is going to be very, very shvach. It's already the second year and very, very little. Tzifichei, tzifichei. Now, here's the drush. What did we just say? With regard to the shofar, there are two gezer shavs. There's one gezer shav that links us to the Omer. The other gezer shav links us to Yovel, the second year when you have not cultivated the land. Combine these two gezer shavs together. We're dealing with the Omer, the laws of shofar. When you blow the shofar, what are you thinking about when you blow the shofar? The halachas. How do I know I have a horn of an animal, not a trumpet? How do I know that I'm standing? When you blow the shofar, you're thinking about the combination of bringing the Omer in the year of Yovel. Why do you need to bother bringing the Omer in the year of Yovel? What is it coming to permit? You have not planted the field for 2 years. There's nothing growing. You're going to tell me the aftergrowth? We're now in the second year of the aftergrowth. The second year of the aftergrowth, the quality of the aftergrowth is even weaker than the quality of the aftergrowth of the first year.
There's still something to eat.
Oh, there's still epis. Epis, there's something. There's something. There's something that's growing. And that aftergrowth in the second year is also forbidden until you bring the Omer on Pesach. So the Omer on Pesach is a matir. It's not coming to be matir, a multi-billion dollar industry. In the first 6 years of Shemitah, when you bring the Omer, what is the Omer being matir? Billions of dollars worth of produce. Okay, we're dealing over here with an agricultural society, and they're exporting food all over the world, and how much money is on the line? How much money has been invested in fertilizer, in technology, in produce, in storage, and in transport? We're talking over here millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even billion dollars. It's an industry. It's all usser, 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 until you bring the Omer. In the year of Yovel, when you bring the Omer, year of Shemitah, when you bring, well, how much, what are you being matir? $10 million. You went down from $1 billion industry to a $10 million industry. The aftergrowth, people need it. Also, there are rules how you deal with the aftergrowth. It's also worth something. So we went down from $1 billion to $10 million is also something. Yovel, we're down to $1 million. Because Yovel is the sefichei sefichei. For a whole Eretz Yisrael, to go down from $1 billion to $1 million, bupkis, peanuts. Yet, you have to bring the Omer. The Omer is mater, the sefichei sefichei. So the Jewish is, now you can take this and you can say whatever you want. I don't really know what to say, but I'll tell you just something else, or what I told this person. It's teaching you, humble yourself. A little humility here. It's now the Yom HaDin. The worst thing you can do on the Yom HaDin is to be a Balgaiver. There's nothing worse that will harm your din than gaiva. The ultimate thing you can do on the Yom HaDin is to be humble. Humble yourself. Chazal cleverly have taught us that when you bring the Omer, you know the Omer is coming, the Omer is a matir. The first drush I told you is, just like it's matir bread, and bread is the physical staple of life. So when you bring the Omer, when you bring the blow of the shofar, you're being matir, the spiritual element of life. You are renewing your lease on life. The Omer is being matir when you declare Hamelech, when you blow the shofar, and you mamlech the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you mamlech Hashem, and you mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, you are renewing your spiritual lease on life, like the bread. Just like the Omer is bread, so too you're renewing your spiritual lease with Batzei HaMelech. What kind of life are you being matir? What kind of life are you being matir? Are you being matir? I'm a chashuv person. You know who I am. I'm the greatest man who ever lived. I'm the most brilliant, the smartest, successful person who ever lived. I'm like a multi-billion-dollar industry. Just like the first 6 years of Shemitah, when you bring the Omer, what are you being matir? Are you being matir the agriculture of Eretz Yisrael, all of the produce, which is worth billions of dollars, and it's an industry? Oh, that's what I am. I'm being matir. The Torah says, no. You are nothing. That's what your attitude should be. You're not a multi-billion dollar industry. You're just an aftergrowth. And you're not just an aftergrowth. You're the aftergrowth of the aftergrowth. But even that needs a matir. Even that needs a renewal in order to be permitted. Humble yourself on the Yom HaDin. When you declare Hashem is Melech, consider it to be right now, which it's Yovel. It's the second year after the last cultivation of the land, and all the Omer is being matir is just babkis. Sifiche. Don't attribute to yourself greatness. Because if you're going to attribute to yourself that you're a great person, and now you're going to come, okay, now it's time to be matir, to renew the lease, Hashem will not be pleased. The attitude of a person has to take upon himself when he comes for the renewal of his lease on life has to be, I'm nothing, I'm a nothing. I'm just barely a sefiche sefichin. Okay, so this
how
is...
How much was me a homer? I'm what? Not a homer. How much was me?
The Mishnah says the Omer is a certain shear. It's I forgot the word. It's a Mishnah. The Farish Mishnah, three Saron, I think. You have to take a certain amount of grain. You grind it, and you sift it 13 times. 13 times, and you come away with a very small amount of flour. I think it's an Isar. I think it's one Isaron, if I'm not mistaken. One Isaron, and that's the Omer. So this is halacha wrapped up in drush, or drush wrapped up in halacha. There are two yesoides in halacha. When you blow the shofar, you make the bracha, you have to be standing. How do we know this? Gezeira shava lochem lochem to oimer. Al tikri bakoma ela bakoma. How do you know the shofar is a horn of an animal, not a trumpet? Gezeira shava to yovel. Each one of these things that the darshanim have taught us represent concepts of agada. Oimer is a matir. The shofar is a matir. Your renewal on life. Yovel is chirus. And yovel represents a return. To return. When you blow the shofar, return to Hashem. When you blow the shofar, you know that it represents of sadigoy. It represents a reminder of Matan Torah. Matan Torah was chirus. Chorus alamuchot. Freedom. It's cheros. These are two independent drushim. But look what happens when you combine them together. When you combine the two together, you're dealing with bringing the Omer on Yovel. Daf Yomi 2 days ago, bringing the Omer on Yovel. Why bother? Why bother? What?
Didn't mention Yovel.
Shemitah.
Talking about the Lechem Aponim.
which was Nifras.
No, not Lechem HaPanim, Matan Chadash, no, no. Talk about it, it's
Daf Ches, no?
Correct. It spoke about being Matir, the purpose of bringing the Omer. The Omer is Matir. So then the Gemara Sakasha, what about Shemitah? It's not being Matir. The Gemara was making a comparison that you find that a Kmitza is a Matir.
Right.
Frek the Gemara, but in the year of the Omer is not a Matir, because there's nothing to be Matir. Because it's Shemitah. There's nothing to be Matir. That was Morris Kasha. Whoever told you that the Omer is a Matir, and we needed that principle for something else, Omer is not a Matir. It may be a Matir in 6 years, but it's not a Matir in Shemitah. It's not a Matir. No, it's Matir the Sefichin. Bishlam, like among them, that's the Sefichin Taka. Are mutter after Yibud, but there's a Malyama that says that even the Sichin Arasar, it's Mata the Shirayim, the leftovers. That was the great bar. Okay, but the point of it is we have over here, what's the significance? When you combine the two together, you're being Matir in Yoiva, with this Mamish, nothing to be Matir. The Musar Haskel is, when you blow the Shofar, you're being a Matir. What are you being Matir yourself? What are you in Yovel? You're just sefichin. You're bubkis, you're nothing. That's the proper attitude to come with to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a shofar. You're going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with gaiva. Gaiva? It's not going to work to your favor. Okay, next. Let's go to another. What?
Omer should be done in the Tamikdash.
Of course! Okay, we have to
write.
We have to write. We have to write. You're not asking on point. Of course, it's done in the Beis. Of course, it's done in the Beis Hamikdash.
No.
Okay, we have to go further. Okay. Okay, now, next, Shaila. Okay, now this is a very interesting Shaila. Shaila and a Shaila. You're not allowed to talk during Tikkun. Rabbis have to know this question. This is Nogei Rabbanim. And Poskim. Interesting Shaila. We all know you're not allowed to talk during Tekiyah Shofar. If you mavsik between the Barucha, what happens if you mavsik between the Barucha and the first Tekiyah? What's the Halacha? Lo Yotza. You have to make the Barucha, the Barucha is not Ma'achi, you have to make the Barucha all over again. But if you already heard one Tekiyah, it's like eating. No, if you make a shaha kol niya bidvaroi and you take a sip of water, so are you allowed to take? Are you allowed to talk? How are you allowed to talk? If I make a brach berminim mezuzah, I bite into a Danish, and I swallow it, and now I have a conversation, and now I want to take another bite, am I allowed to take another bite?
Sure.
I'm making like a bracha. How can I be nene me'olam hazeh b'loy bracha? But I was mavsik. I made the bracha. I ate immediately. There was no hefsik between the bracha and the achila.
So you ate.
I ate. But after I ate, even if I had a whole Danish, I made a bracha. I ate. There was no hefsik between the bracha,
correct,
the bracha and the achila.
So okay.
And now I have a conversation with you. And now I want to take another piece of the Danish. How am I allowed to put in my mouth another piece of that Danish? Also, lehonois me'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. How am I allowed to eat? So you'll tell me, I made a bracha. But what I'm eating now is not shayich to that bracha, because I was mavsik.
Okay.
I should have to make another bracha. So the result will be a very quiet dining room. You make a bracha.
Or you'll easily make your 100 brachas.
You'll make a bracha, and you're not allowed to be mafsik until you finish the entire meal. Now, that's ridiculous, right? You never heard such a crazy thing like that, right? That's ridiculous. No,
I've heard of crazy things, but that's pretty cool.
That's ridiculous, right? Why is it so ridiculous? When they announce in shul, we're going to blow now 100 koilos. And it's going to take us 3 hours to get from the Tekiyah Shofar until we get to the end of the davening on Rosh Hashanah. And the rabbi is going to announce, remember, Rabbi Isai, you're not allowed to be mafsik until the very end of davening, because the barakah we're making now is going on the 100 koilos, so you're not allowed to be mafsik.
Not even
with saying Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, you can't even say that. And then there's a big shaila if you go to the Beis Hakisei. The Beis Hakisei is not part of the Nusach HaTfilah. What? Hey, but let's say a person goes to the Beis Hakisei, can he make the Baruch Asher Yotza? Such a machlokes apoyskim, some say yes, some say not. Lachol Maisa, you can. That's the basic rule, you can. No, why obviously? But some say you should. The apoyskim, they say you're not allowed to. You're not
allowed
to go to the bathroom. But you have no choice, but you can't even Asher Yotza. You come out of the bathroom, can you make the Baruch Asher Yotza? Asher Yotza is not part of the Nusach HaTfilah. Only what's part of the Nusach HaTfilah. So Lachol Maisa, the apoyskim say you can make it. Okay, you can make Asher Yotza, it's okay. Time limit, and I think there's another more powerful reason why you make Asher Yotzar. We're going off on a tangent. You know why? Because Asher Yotzar is a Nusach HaTfilah. Because what do you say in Asher Yotzar? Golui v'yodua lifnei chisei chivadecha. It fits perfectly, perfectly into the theme of the Yomim Noiroyim. Just like, you know, last week that we lay in the Haftorah, Shivda Nechemta. Shiva the Nechemta, the Haftorah. Did we lay in the Haftorah of last week's Haftorah? What was last week's Haftorah? Anochi, no, I forgot whatever it was. What, yes. Was last week? That was last week?
Yes.
Anochi, no, not last week, 2 weeks ago. Rosh Chodesh. Yes. What was it supposed to be? Whatever it was supposed to be. Did we lay it? Probably everyone here did not lay it. Maybe you were sorry, maybe you delayed it, but most of them, why not? We laid. We laid Hashamayim Kisi. We skipped. We went to what? We went to Rosh Chodesh. No one lays Rosh Chodesh. How are you allowed to skip? Shiva de Nechemta is sacred. How are you allowed to ignore Shiva de Nechemta and read Hashamayim Kisi? So what's the answer? Because Hashamayim Kisi also has powerful words of Nechama. Anochi Anachemchem Lom Hashem. It also has words of Nechama. So it's not a deviation from the Shiva de Nechemta. So same thing, Asher Yotzar. You know why you can say Asher Yotzar if you go to the Beis Hakisei during the Tkiyas? It's not a deviation from the Nusach HaTfilah, because Asher Yotzar, what do you say? Golui v'yodua lefnei chisei chivodecha she'im yiposeach echad mehem o yisoseh echadim yiafshar lehiskayim v'lamoy lefonecha. There couldn't be a better bracha to say in Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of davening, than the Asher Yotzar. And if not for the fact that it's not the right thing to go to the bathroom, Chazal would have told us to go to the bathroom in the middle of the davening, so we should say the bracha. Could it be a better bracha what to say?
Also, wait, I'm just thinking, if it thunders, Shekocho, Ugubarasa, Molei.
Very good, very good. And Nechanan would do the same thing. Very good, interesting concept. Very good, very good. So now, the question over here is, are you allowed to be mafsik? So I'm like, the rabbi, don't be mafsik. Why not? Why isn't Birchas HaMitzvah is different than eating? Once I blow one tekiah, it's as if I've eaten food. Now when I come to blow the shvarim, the tru on the next tekiah, it's not a hefsik. It's the bracha that I made in the beginning goes on the other tekiahs. Just like when it comes to food, you can make a bracha right away. You eat, so the bracha should be chal on the food, and now you can talk, and you can go back and eat. And when you go back and eat, when the eating goes back, the eating that you're doing later on goes back on the bracha, and you don't even need a shear. Eat a mashahu. You make a bracha, you can eat a mashahu, and then talk, and then eat the shear and make the al hamichya. So why is it that when it comes to Birchas HaMitzvahs, are we so makbid? Don't be mafsik until the very, very end. The very, very end. It's a very good kasha. So the answer is, mitzvahs is different than food. That's basically the answer. But the truth is, you're really right. Lemai nafkamina, you're really right. If you do by mistake, if you are mafsik, then in Echanami, we say it's no worse than eating. Lechatchilo, you should not be mafsik to the very, very end of the davening. Why? Because shofar is not food. Food is food, and birchos hamitzvos is birchos hamitzvos. By mitzvos, we're more makbit. But when it comes to food, it's a different rule, and Chazal were not makbit. But the truth is they're really the same. And because Me'ikar Hadin, they're really the same, the Nafkamina is after the fact. If you did make a mistake and you did speak in the middle of the tekiyos, it's okay. It's no worse than if you ate food after you made the bracha. So you spoke. Okay, go weiter, finish up the mitzvah. The bracha you've made is chal in all of the tekiyos. We don't consider it to be that what you're doing now is a hefsik from what you've done. It's okay. But l'chatchila, we hold birchas ha-mitzvahs to a higher standard and you're not allowed to be mafsik. L'chatchila. But there are exceptions. Go to the Beis HaKisei. Now here's a very interesting Shabbat. But the Chazal appear to be, it appears that being that the blowing of the shofar is so awesome, it's so powerful, it's Yimei HaDin, it's the Din, it represents so many powerful things on Rosh Hashanah, it appears a very, very intense chumrah not to be mafsik. And don't play around with this, and don't be mafsik. So the question is, let's say you're a rabbi, and someone comes over to you in the middle of davening and says, my wife might be in labor. Can I be mechal yom tov and take her to the hospital right now? Maybe, yeah, but you know, we did this already 5 times and there was always a false alarm. So what do you think about the shaila, rabbi? What do you think? Think my wife is just nervous or you think I should do it? Or let's say they come to a shaila and someone feels the need to ask the rabbi a halachic question.
I was mafsik. Am I allowed to continue? He can ask the rabbi a question
right then. But that's the person. The person may be davened somewhere else. The person may be davened already. He davened the sikkin. But he comes to the rabbi to ask the rabbi the question. Oh, okay. The rabbi is davening right now. Is a rabbi allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the tekiyos to answer a halachic question, what are the parameters? If it's pikuach nefesh, of course. Yes. We're not discussing pikuach nefesh. We're discussing where it's not pikuach nefesh. So basically, the answer is yes. That's what he says over here. I never saw the shaila asked. Mutar lemoira hoira lehoira is hoira hanitzreches l'shazot. If this question needs to be answered now, obviously it's not pikuach nefesh. But there's a person who is in need of knowing the answer now. And he doesn't want to wait 3 hours for the rabbi to come home and pass him the shaila. There's a need that it should be answered now. To call what? So what is the svara? To call mitzvah oiveres, af shehi mitzvah acheres mutter. De ein isra la sois mitzvah acheres rak shalo yihei bezeh bitul le mitzvah sho'isek ba. Being that it's a mitzvah to answer a question, a halakha question, a special type of mitzvah, even though it's not related whatsoever to the tkiyas shofar, it's a question of basa b'cholof. My pots, I have my whole family sitting around the table. We dive in kivos sikkim around the table. We need to know, rabbi, is the food kosher? We need to know. We need to know if the food is kosher. You're sitting here and diving, alone diving. I'm at home now with my whole family. We have over here a whole family around the table. We can't wait 3 hours for you to finish diving and tell us halacha. We can wait. We really can wait. But you know, it's not, you know, everyone's on the edge. We want to eat right now. Okay, that's I think a good example. It's not an emergency. You have plenty of other food to eat. They're not going to starve. Okay, but they want to know now. Is the rabbi allowed to be mafsik? Well, the rabbi can say, sorry, buddy, you're not going to stay in words. But basically, you know, I'm in the middle of tekiyas shofar. No one bothered you when you heard the shofar. So don't bother me when I hear the shofar and figure out the answer yourself or do what you have, figure out, don't bother me. Or no, the rabbi l'chatchila is allowed to answer the question. In the middle of, can you believe this? The rabbi is going to talk. The rabbi who made the announcement, no one should dare talk. He's going to have a whole conversation now in the middle of Shemona Esrei.
There must be a difference if it's between the bracha and the first tekiyah.
Right, that's for sure not. That's posh. Food is the same thing. I said that in the beginning. That's pashut. You make the bracha, you don't eat right away, that's pashut. That's after you've already blown one tekiyah. So the answer is yes. You're allowed to be mafsik. Because you're not being mafsik with a chol. If the guy comes and says, rabbi, I'll tell you the score. I'll tell you who won the World Series. Right now, only on tonight, you tell me something else. Whatever, you have to tell me something. I'll make a deal with you. So if you have a conversation about the baseball game, that is no excuse. But when there's a Dvar Mitzvah, and the Dvar Mitzvah is pressing, it's mutter. It's mutter for the rabbi to be mafsik.
Why are you surprised that there's such a shayla?
Because there is a, because the, there is an impression that you get. You, maybe you're right. I shouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised.
I agree with you because I'm not surprised. I remember I was 12 years old and a guy had a heart attack in the house next door. It was Friday night and we ran to a place to ask if we should call the... It was not solid.
Call the police. Why do you have to even run? Why do you have to even run? What kind of way do I have to run? Yeah. Who's running to go ask a shush? I go call the ambulance and run. The guy had a heart attack. He called the ambulance.
He didn't know what he had. He fell down. So the rav didn't speak Shabbos. And he only said, you know?
So both were wrong. The people should not even ask the Shiloh. And the rabbi who asked the Shiloh was also wrong. I mean,
I remember I grew up in Williamsburg. Shabbos, between Micha and Mar, I'm standing in Shabbos afternoon. We're on the street, my friends. A Hasidic kid comes running. He says, "Can you ring the fire alarm? My house is on fire."
Oh,
I said, "Stupidest thing I've ever heard."
He makes
that. Say, "House is on fire. You won't ring the alarm."
By Reb Chaim or Reb Bel, by the Beis HaLevi, we had a pikuach nefesh. He told the guy, "Open the light." He told the son, "Open the light." And the son said to somebody else, "Go open the light."
Yeah, pious on him. When I was very little, I was in Eretz Yisrael once, and there was an emergency. So I was in a place where someone appeared to be having a heart attack. I got very, very scared. I ran. I was there at school, and I just came there. And I'm not familiar at all with the telephones. How do you use a telephone at school? I don't know how you, this in America 911. I don't know what to do. So I got very scared. So I ran like to the neighbor, and I spoke in rapid fire English because I was so scared. They probably didn't understand a word that I said. They were Israelis, and I said, "There's an emergency. Call an ambulance. Call an ambulance. Call out." So whatever I said. They didn't understand what I was saying, so then I said, "Where is there a phone?" So they pointed where the phone was. So I went to the phone and I picked it up, and then I realized I don't even know how to call on an Israeli phone. I just came.
What number do you call?
So I told them call, and then they chopped. And they were very hesitant. They didn't want to call.
How do people know? You guys don't even know.
They don't know the family. I told they saw that I was frozen, and I picked up the phone and I said, "How do you call an ambulance? I don't even know how to talk to the operator in Hebrew." And it took them like a couple of seconds until they recognized, I'm a stupid American, and they recognized that there's a real emergency, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this. And then they did it. They called, whatever, and then right away a guy came. But I remember it was like, it took them time to process that this is pikuach nefesh.
Right. The reason Lubavitch set up an ambulance bat sola when Williamsburg had one already, because the Rebbe had a heart attack, so they got an ambulance 24 hours. Until then, they didn't think they needed a sola.
Okay, so this is this you can ask you can you're allowed to to do this. Now, interesting idea. It says here, who should be the makri? Who is supposed to be the one that does tekiah, shvarim, so we know today it's the Rav. But you know what it really says? You know who is really supposed to be the makri? I never knew this. The real shach, the ikar person that's kedima to be the makri is the Baal Shachris. The Baal, isn't that an interesting idea? The Baal, obviously there's some drush, we're trying to combine halacha with drush, obviously there is some connection to the one who calls out the tekiah is to the one who daven shachris. Maybe
if the rov is the one who knows
the halachas.
Yeah,
it's a separate thing. You should know that sometimes there's someone who calls out and there's someone who knows the halachas. Today it happens to be that the one that calls out also is expected to us. But it doesn't have to be like that. In fact, it may not even be ideal to be like that. Because everyone has to get one job. Don't confuse people. Some men can't even walk and chew gum at the same time. Everyone has their job. The Baal Tokea blows. The Makri is the Makri. And then there is the umpire. Right? It's like in baseball. Okay, in baseball. What? So there's plenty of room in the Bima. Plenty of room for everyone to stand together. No, it's not. Today it's unheard of. Today the Rav is a Bezoyin. It's a Bezoyin. It's a Mar Halach Bifnei Rabbi. Right, someone else will decide what's good, what's not good, and go back. But it's very, very interesting. Really, the ideal way it should be is there's a makri, and there's a rav who's the umpire, and the makri should be dafka be the baal shachris. Why is that? Makes sense. When are you really supposed to blow tekiyos? Shachris. Why do we do it? We learned this yesterday. Gzeris hashmat. Is there a gzeris hashmat today? No. So why don't we do it? We don't want to go back to. We don't want to provoke the guy. Whatever, we discussed some Jewish yesterday. Mice, it's a minigot. Once it's established, it's established. But in order to carry over or bring back in time the tekiyos to the shachris, if the Baal shachris is the makri, it basically connects the tekiyos to shachris. There's something to it. Do we do this today? Unheard of. Today, the Bakri is the Rav, the one that knows Halach is the Rav, is the who. But it's interesting, you go into the source and see what it says. He has Kedima to be the Makri. Okay, Misha, we'll see you tomorrow.